encourage you to grab your copy of God's Word. And by the way, you'll want that copy of God's Word. I like gadgets, but when we have an EMP thing breaks across the world, we can no longer use our electronic gadgets, you will certainly want your paper copy of this marvelous, most wonderful, priceless. Can we just say, I know that MasterCard has that little thing, you do this, and do it together, is priceless. I tell you what is priceless. It is a copy of God's Word that we can read and study. Now that is priceless. Hebrews chapter 11, just three verses, 8, 9, and 10. Hebrews chapter 11, 8, 9, and 10. By faith, Abraham. Now, I understand before we go any further that his name was Abram before God changed it. We're just going to continue, and even though we go back when probably his name was Abram, I will call it Abraham, probably lucky. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The Lord's blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love us and care for us. And Lord, you want us to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please you. And Lord, Abraham was a man of faith. Lord, as we look at Abraham, may each of us consider ourselves. Do we have these three marks of faith? Lord, help me tonight. Forgive me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me, please, with your spirit. This evening, be with those teaching downstairs. Thank you for those who are willing to do so. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Really, we find then our text is centered around this wonderful man, Abraham. And he was a man who lived by faith and not by presumption. The year was 1973. The town was Newport, Tennessee. The church is called, I guess, Holiness Church of God in Jesus' name. And there was Pastor Jimmy Ray Williams, 34, and Buford Peck, age 30, who were presumptuous. Having read Mark chapter 16, verse 18, they allowed snakes to bite them and also drank some strychnine. And it was not just but a few hours later that both of them had gone into eternity. It was presumption, not faith. Abraham is the father of the faithful. Matter of fact, he's revealed, I would say, by perhaps even a half of the world's population is Abraham revealed. That would be the Muslims, the Jewish people, and of course we as Christians. In ancient times, Abraham perhaps would even almost been worthy of, to the Jews, of worship, like perhaps like Moses. In the Bible, he's presented to us as a great example of a man who lived by faith. I see we have lost, and I was thinking about missionary and missionaries' endeavors today. I think we've lost a lot of faith. We have, and I would encourage you, be prepared. Prepare for your retirement. The Lord lets you be retired, etc. Prepare for those things. But also, we've got to stop and say, the Lord will provide for me. That may not be all that you're wanting, but he'll provide our needs. And where it may come down, perhaps part of our awakening as a church will be that we had real, what is needs and what are wants? What are needs and what are have-tos and wants? He's provided so many of our wants. We've almost sometimes got that confused between what our needs are and what our wants are. Abraham was a man of faith. Matter of fact, he was a friend of God. His life was a special life, and a good portion of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, is devoted to Abraham. If you were watching Abraham when he left his home to follow God here in Egypt, not knowing where he's going, just trusting God, would you have said that he was a Christian or a phony? I would say he's a man of God. But if you watched him as he lied to Pharaoh, as he gets involved with Hagar, as he lies to Abimelech again, would you say Abraham was a follower of God? Man, I don't know about that. In the world, many people claim to possess genuine faith. When you speak to them, they say, I was saved such and such a time, or I am right with God. But are they really? I want to emphasize tonight, before I do anything else, salvation in the Bible is always a current, present thing. It is not, were you saved 40 years ago? Well, I was saved 40. No, I want to know today. Today, do you know Christ as Savior? How do you know so? Are you living by faith? Are you walking with God? Are you having that relationship? I remember visiting so many people that say, 40 years ago, I walked the aisle and I've never seen him from church for 40 years. I tell you, I really doubt they truly trusted Christ as Savior. Today, I'm not asking about even last week, today. Do you know that you know that you're Christ? I'm not trying to get you to doubt. I'm just saying it's salvation. Always in the Bible is a current, present tense thing. Now, it's hard sometimes. People will respond and evidence says otherwise. Evidence says otherwise. If I were to tell you, I'm the best tennis player in all the world. You say, Pastor Tim, I've looked at your pudgy, fat body, and I can just tell you don't play tennis very much. Have you ever been playing in your entire life? There's no evidence to say that you are a tennis professional. You're far too old, by the way, number one. There's evidence. I'm a child of God. I need to see it. I want to see it. And you need to see it in our lives. If you'll take the time to observe your life, let me ask you, there's three marks. There's three telltale marks of genuine faith. Number one, sign one, the mark of faith experience. The mark of faith's experience, and first of all, involves an inviting call in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. Now, I will just tell you that when I'm in a car, my wife will tell you, and I don't know exactly where I'm going, and I've not looked on a map because we don't need maps as men. We can just go. And when I get... I see that thumbs up. You know what you're doing. I know. I get so frustrated. You've never been here before, she will say. I know, but I should know where I'm going, but you've never been here before. I hate getting lost and wasting time on a road I'm not supposed to be on. Abraham left his hometown and followed God, not knowing where he's going. And he was content with that faith. So the first sign is faith experience. He was raised in a society of people that worshipped the moon god. He was headed to hell, we are told, but God called him to get right with God. He did. Somehow God spoke to Abraham's heart, told him to leave his land he's living in and go to a new place. God moved his heart and called him out. This is how every single person works on us. The Holy Spirit calls us. There's no unbeliever who wakes up an unbeliever now and says, you know what, I think I'm getting right with God. No, the Holy Spirit moves on their heart and they're convicted of sin and they repent of that sin and they trust Christ as Savior. It says in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who are what? Dead in trespasses and sins. He convicts them and they receive Christ as personal Savior. There's no desire. There's no man that seeketh after God in Romans 3. It's he came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to us. He came down from his glory. Da, 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 da. Oh, how I love him. He came down that we might have life. So he moves in the sinner's heart. The sinner says, you know, for all has sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. I need to receive Christ. And the Holy Spirit crushes our heart, if you would. He shows the sinner they're on the way to heaven, on the way to hell, and they can receive Christ and be on their way to heaven. And the invitation is there, and they receive Christ. The Holy Spirit points them to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So there's the drawing by the Father. Involves the inviting call. Secondly, involves an individual choice. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive from an inheritance, O-B-E-Y-E-D. He obeyed. He chose to obey. I remember my dad would give me directives sometimes, and I would choose to obey, and sometimes I'd choose not to obey. That was a bad plan, not to obey. When it's something serious. Now, sometimes he'd want to, give you some flexibility, but when it was like, you need to do that, obey, or you will wish you had at times. We are told that when Abraham heard the call, I should stop for just a moment because my dad was one of the most easygoing people. I would say probably I could count on one hand or less the number of times I got spanked my entire childhood. So I'm saying I needed a whole lot more, but my dad was a patient man, and unless I got him riled up sometime, or my mom would get riled up before my dad. So I should clear the air and say he was very patient. And now my brother, he got spanked. He did get more than I did. I'll have to say he did get more than me. I'll have to just say that was true as well. So it involved an individual choice. He made a choice to go. The faith in God is what brought salvation to Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him unto righteousness. It was not that it wasn't his acts. He believed. That's how salvation has always been. It's not that he did his good works. He believed and it was counted righteousness. That's the second step of genuine faith. First you're called and then you come, or you make the choice. When you come, Christ promised you to receive you and to keep you. It is not enough simply to know you're a lost sinner. It's not enough to be convicted. You must come to God by faith, repenting of your sin, trusting Christ for salvation. But don't fear. When He calls, He gives you faith to believe and to be saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What is the gift of God? The faith to believe. What does the verse say? He gives us this, and we receive a Savior, and we're on our way to heaven. It's an inviting call. It's an individual choice. Can you recall the moment in your life when you turned? I can tell you this moment. I received Christ when I was 6. I can't tell you the exact date, but I know where it was. But I can tell you also this morning, I had my devotions, convicted about sin today, yes. So my relationship started back then, 53 years ago, but it continues today. I'm not living like a heathen. Well, you may think, like a heathen. Maybe just a heathen. But I can tell you when I got saved, but my relationship is still now. God has convicted me of sin. Oh my goodness, I've been a failure so many times. Aren't you glad that He picks us up? So is Proverbs 16, about verse 24, somewhere in there. How if a good man falls 7 times and keeps getting up because God helps him. Lord, I've sinned. I repent of my sin. And you get up and you go on again. That's the difference between an unbeliever and a believer. A believer will repent of his sin. I mean, eventually, the unbeliever can go on living sin, high, wide, and handsome, and doesn't care a bit. The believer, you know, that conviction comes. Peter eventually, you know, he repented. As soon as the Lord looked at him after those 3 things, he went out and wept bitterly. Oh, I'm so disappointed with the Savior. When you take a look at our lives, are you truly a child of God? The moment, the instant that genuine faith is born in your heart, we are saved. We respond to Christ. Do you have this mark? Do you have this mark of experience? Have you received Christ as Savior? By the way, do you notice that Abraham was not called to pray a prayer or sign a card or join something? He was called to go with God. And that's the gospel call. It reaches out to follow mankind and says, take up your cross and follow me. I'll do the following. Just taking up the cross part, I'm not so sure about that. But see, He is your Lord and Savior and Master. Easy believism is just that. It's easy unbelievism, if you want to call it that. It's not so. Listen, He has this claim upon you. And it's not some, I'm going to add it in there and He's going to solve all my problems. When you trust Christ as Savior, your life's probably going to become more difficult. I tell you, in America, in the months and years ahead, just the weeks ahead probably, it's going to be more and more difficult for us as we stand firm on what the Bible has said. We need to do that, by the way. We need to do that. I just called last week to one of a Kentucky place regarding a certain thing and actually talked to a live person. And they wanted to know what my zip code was, where I lived, and what I did, and this, that, et cetera, other. I said, now what is it, after about 10 questions, now what is it you want to tell us? I said, well, I want you, blah, 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 blah. And so we need to take a stand for what the biblical stance is. We should stand for what is right. The Bible says we receive Christ, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are secure because of what He has done. Salvation comes down to you hearing the call and going after Him. To follow Jesus means that you will love what He loves, hate what He hates, go where He goes, and do what He does. Do you have the experience, Mark? Have you received Him? Secondly, is the mark of faith's expression. Not only did Abraham hear and heed the call of God, he also prayed did the reality of his faith, showed the reality of his faith by the ways he lived out the remainder of his life. Verse 8, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. He went out. So he lived, first of all, faith lived in God's path. Went out, not knowing whether he went. It was a statement of faith. He did not know where he was going, for sure, where he ended up, but he trusted the Lord to lead him all along the bright path. And that's exactly what God did. It was an immediate and an immense not knowing what immense faith. And God is not looking for people who have everything figured out. He's looking for people who will trust Him to direct their path. I tell you, if you were to see And a lot of the missionaries who've gone out, when they go out, if they would have known what all they're going to face, they, wow, I'd have faked my first day of deputation. If I'd have known what I was going to face. Perhaps you and I, as we go out and serve the Lord, if we'd have known all that we're going to come across, or as a pastor, or as a missionary, or as a Sunday school teacher, or as whatever it is you're working with, there's going to be difficult times. And so the Lord doesn't reveal all those difficult times. He says, trust me by faith, and he'll help us through those times. He's looking for people who will follow. Sometimes the paths are hard. Sometimes the paths are easy, but sometimes the paths are always best. Job said it so well. But he knows the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So forth as gold. Now, that's quite the saying. I think I've come forth as some very, very, the dregs of the steel, whatever that's called. I forget what it's called. You know what it's called now. But the little pits of steel that fall off it. I think I've come forth lots of times when I was tried as the ignorance of that's come off the steel instead of gold. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, in verse 9, as a strange, in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. He arrived in the land of Canaan, found it occupied by wicked, truly wicked heathen nations. Yet God promised him that one day this land was going to belong to him, to his offspring, Genesis 13. Even as Abraham walked in as a stranger in the very land God had promised to give him, he knew that one day all God's precious promises would be fulfilled. He did not use fleshly means to acquire the land. He believed that at one point in time God would indeed give him the land he's promised. One day Israel will get back that land. You can be an Arab person, whoever you are, an English person, and you can go there and buy an entire land of Israel if you want, but one day it's going to pay back to the Jews, so you're going to lose a lot of money you're going to lose all that money you paid her. I don't think they're going to probably pay you back. I think God's just going, listen, if you had any smarts about you, this is the Jewish land for the Jewish people. It's God's chosen city. God's going to take care of that, and you just, you know, better get on board with that, because it is his place. It's their place. This is the essence of genuine faith. Faith believes that God will do everything he's promised to do. Everything he's promised to do. I remember just yesterday, I was at a piano place, and there was a nice Boston piano that had, by the way, the reason we didn't get the dark walnuts, $1,000 more. So I was playing this nice Boston piano, and I played a used Seiler piano that was $14,900. Oh my goodness, what a sound that thing had. Wow. I said, you know what? I said, which is Mr. Graves. I said, Mr. Graves, what I told the people was, the piano's about $700 to $800, and then I'm going to stick with this, and that's what I promised them to do. Well, I don't, it was, but this is what I agreed upon to do, and that's what, when you say something, you trust, and when you give that commitment, you're to follow through. God has given us promises, and far more than any human being, he's going to follow through. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He's going to come for us. He's going to, I believe, take us before even the tribulation starts. He's going to save us from the wrath to come. By the way, it doesn't mean that we sit on our hands and say, you know what? Nothing bad's going to happen. I know God. No, we are to go forward now and train our children. Now listen, persecution may come. We have to be ready. The pastor may get put in jail. The church may be closed. We're going to have house churches. We need to be ready and prepared for what lies ahead. What lies ahead? Amen. Now, I pray every day that we'll not have what is on the horizon, it seems, that we'll have a resurgence of Christians like you and I getting right with God and the Word of God being proclaimed and honored, at least honored, instead of just thrown out and trampled under. So faith then lived in God's path. Faith leaned on God's providence, the heirs with him of the same promise. If you're looking there still at 9b, by faith, he sojourned in the land of the promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. As Abraham journeyed from place to place, his life was not always easy. You know that. In fact, if you study his life, there were times of victory, there were times of failure, times of joy, times of sorrow, times of righteousness, times of rebellion, times of faith, times of foolishness, times of joy, and times of testing. Abraham passed some, failed some, passed some. You and me, we passed some, we failed some. We passed some, we failed some. We failed, 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 passed. Failed, 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 passed. And so there we go, like my grades at school. We failed some, pass a few. Here we go, fail a lot. I've just been facetious there, but not the spirit said, well, I failed far too often. We trust God, though, and we will, with through him, all things are possible. Yet during the times of his life, Abraham trusted the Lord to bring him his life exactly to where God had planned. He lived as a pilgrim in a strange land and leaned on the Lord for every single need that he had. He looked to God to keep his word and promises. He leaned on the providence of God and trusted God to do which was best for his life. Not easy, but it was a life of faith. A life of faith. I think it's something that a lot of us have not really had to live. We've been so blessed here in America. Have we not? I'm including myself. A life of faith. A life of faith. Abraham did. What a life. Not perfect, but it was a life of faith. He honored the Lord. The life of faith is his ups and downs, but has always come back to the place where it goes with God. Real faith knows that it is a pilgrim and a stranger in a lost, cursed world. Genuine faith looks to God to do what is best for the days and years ahead. Faith knows that God can be trusted. Faith knows that God is able. Faith knows that God always knows what is best. It knows that life is not always easy, but that God and his providence can be trusted to do that which is right. Genuine faith follows God. And Abraham was walking in a land that he never saw as his own. What did it say he lived in? Tents, tabernacles. And it wasn't, I saw a guy pulling, was it yesterday or the day before, pulled into the marathon station down here and had one of those big fifth wheel things that had the toy hauler on it. It's like, it must have been like 30, 40 feet long. I said, man, that's like a home. You could go over there and live there. And a lot of people do. That's where they're home. It's not like that. He was living in a tent. Didn't have air conditioning, I don't think. Probably didn't have running water. Probably didn't have a toiletry conveniences of a place like that. Probably didn't have the composting toilet like what I have now. I didn't even have that. And yet he was, this is my land. This land is my land. It never was his land while he lived in it. But one day, can you imagine you and me living our lives, our entire lives, on a piece of property that's not being yours, and you're paying rent on its own property. You're paying rent on all of the time, and you're traveling from spot to spot to spot, and it's never even deeded to you until after you die and you come back. I wouldn't like that very much. I want to own. Well, Abraham believed God's promise. He was faithful. So the mark, number one, experience, have you received Christ? Number two is expression. He walked with God. Our expression would be like to witness, to tithe, to serve, to go, to give, to obey. That's the expression of our trusting God. And thirdly, we find then that the third sign, third mark, the mark of faith, expectation. Talking to choir tonight, one of the songs, it is how marvelous. It's like expectation. It's like we get some excitement in the expectation of something's going to happen. We're going to expect this to happen. And some excitement as we sing that. That's his life. A life of expectation that God was going to provide far beyond what he had now. So number one, faith expects a heavenly hope. A heavenly hope. Verse 10 of our text. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, we know from the Bible that there is the New Jerusalem. Comes down from God out of heaven in Revelation 21. It is often thought by most people on the street, other than people in our church, even most Baptist churches, lots of times people think that heaven, sinners, and only is called and part of the New Jerusalem. That heaven is going to be limited to gates of pearl and streets of gold. Those are just attributes of the new Jerusalem that comes down from God out of heaven, and I believe will sit on the new earth once the new earth is here, and it's going to be the place where God dwells. There's no need of a sun in there. The sun continues, I believe, for eternity. Sun and moon, look at your scriptures. And the new Jerusalem, the Lamb is the light thereof, and there's no need of the sun, for the Lamb's light is stronger even than that, I believe, of the sun. But once you leave the new Jerusalem, and the holy, new holy that go outside that, then you're going to have sun, moon, stars. Look what the Bible says in Psalms. Don't say, and do please, for never ever from going forward, say that heaven is simply the new Jerusalem. It is far more than that. Read Isaiah. We come and go. And the doors and the gates are open. Yes, there's gates of pearl. Yes, there's streets of gold. But that is the new Jerusalem where God's going. That's going to be his throne room capital. But we're going to go out and I believe serve certainly on this earth, if not throughout all the galaxies for eternity. Yes, a heavenly hope. The promised land.
He was looking for that. He looked for another company, country. He looking for the God to give him this, what he's promised. Genuine faith walks through this world with the same kind of hope. Peter called it what? A lively, a living hope. It is the sure knowledge that someday the saints will leave this world and fly away for one that is far better. And we're coming back, you know. I will leave you there. Yes, we go to heaven when we die, but we're going to come back with him at the end of the tribulation time. And he comes back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. We're here helping. The Jews are the number one people during that, if you want to call them that. They're in charge, if you would, in many respects. We are helping as Gentiles. And for 1,000 years, he rules and reigns. We do serve God, etc. At the end of that time, of course, there's the last rebellion, the great white throne judgment. The earth and heavens are burned, and we have a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And on that, we spend eternity. It's not that we're going to leave the earth to never return. But I tell you, you ask most Christians today, when I die, I'm going to heaven and I'm going to stay there for eternity. Heaven comes to earth. That's what the Bible says. God shall dwell with man. And he shall be their God, and they shall be his children. Look for yourself, Revelation 21. So genuine faith believes in a living, a lively hope. The faith keeps the child of God going through trials, tragedies, and troubles that plague us here. It keeps us holding on. It centers our hearts upon the Savior, if you would. So faith expects a heavenly hope. Faith expects a heavenly home. As he journeyed, verse 10, he longed for the day when he could settle down and put away his traveling shoes. It was not looking for the city on this earth. He's looking for the heavenly city. I remember when Stephanie and I first went to work with Bible Truth Music from the September to January, the first Sunday of January, we were in 37 different churches from September the 2nd through, I think it was December 31st. We were in 37 different churches in that short period of time. That's what we were to do. But we said, and for after about a couple of years of that, man, I wish we could get to a church where we're the same people. Every week I see the same people, know the same people, and develop that relationship. And then God allowed me to start pastoring again in 2011. It was a ministry that God had called us to do for that time. Yes, but it was like, man, I just want to be able to go back to the same person this Sunday as we were in last Sunday and talk to people and learn about them and have a relationship with them. As we go through the world, we know that we are not home yet. We know there's a city called heaven in the New Jerusalem where we will settle down and wander no more and serve the Lord on the new heaven and new earth. New heavens and new earth. Like Abraham, the genuine faith that occupies the hearts of children of God longs for that heavenly home. Are you longing for heaven? Are you wanting to go there? Yes, I want to go there. If you're saved, I guarantee you that there is that pull to that better land. Notice with me what kind of faith looks for. Faith looks for a prepared home, builder and maker. We look for a home prepared for us by the Lord himself. He's gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. So whether it's up in the heaven where God lives now, or whether it's on the earth during the millennial reign, or it's on the new earth with Christ, that's where we're going to be with him. Only faith looks for a prepared home, a perfect home with God. This home will be built by God, and God does not make junk, someone has said. The home prepared for us is going to be exactly what we need, and we'll be exactly happy with it. We look at the home plans, we look at all the homes of people, and we drive by these big estates, wow, I wish I had that, or wow, I wish I had that. Or, I tell you, when you get to heaven, it's going to be, wow, it's exactly what I could ever hope for. And I'm content with it. Whether it's a cottage, a tent, or a cottage, why should I care? I'd make a good song for somebody to write this season. Tent or cottage, why should I care? The building palace for a child of a king. Aren't we the child of a king? That's what makes heaven great is the Savior, God himself. That's what's going to make it great. Not only faith looks for a prepared home, a perfect home, a permanent home, who has foundations. By the way, tents, now they had some strong stakes probably, but tents didn't have foundations. They maybe flattened the sand, put this tent up there and put a little piece across the sand there and there you were. It didn't have a lot of foundations. I remember being camping in tents, which is not one of my least favorite things to do. To camp in a tent somewhere and the wind blows. I remember in Ely different times. And the rain comes in and would soak your clothes. I tell you, there's nothing worse than having your entire clothes soaked by rain. And it's so cold they won't dry. Or it's rained the next day. And you can wear the same article of clothing day after day because it's dry. So I won't talk about that anymore. But that was just not my favorite thing here. So he had looking for a home that had foundations that's going to last. The heavenly home is a permanent home, a perfect home, a prepared home that will not rot, that will not pass away, and there are no termites in glory, I do not think. Faith, real faith, refuses to settle down here. We can grasp that. Real faith refuses to settle down here. Again, we prepare. But this is, we're just a passing through, are we not? So, as we consider, and we're just about done, Peter. If you see Peter in Caesarea Philippi in Matthew chapter 16, who do people say that I am? And he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Would you say Peter's a Christian? Why, yeah, a man of God. Then we look in the same book in chapter 26 in 69 to 75 and around the fire three times. Aren't you one of his disciples? Oh, no. Are you one of, oh, no. You speak, oh, no. And with the, oh, I don't know him. The cock crows. He looks at Jesus and Jesus looks at him. And I wonder how many times he's looked at me and you and wept bitterly. Wow. I wonder how many times I've broken God's heart. How many times you've broken God's heart by our lives. We'd say right then, was Peter Christian? I don't know. He just denied him three times. Three times confronted. The same man, two different settings. The first time we say, almost anyway, yes, the words of a saved man, thou art the Christ. The second time, that's the words of an unsaved man. So is he truly saved or not? Well, let's examine his life. Are the three marks for Peter? Yes, they are. Number one, did he have an experience of faith? Yes. In John 1:40, one of the two which heard him, John, speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Simon Peter had followed the Christ in Luke chapter 5. You want to turn over there in closing. Luke chapter 5. Was Peter truly a child of God? Was there an experience of faith? Luke chapter 5. Look what he responds to on the boat. Luke chapter 5. Go in there, please. Luke chapter 5. Verse 8. Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Verse 10. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Wow, he had experience of faith. Yes, he trusted Christ. He followed Christ. He was a witness for Christ. Secondly, how about the expression? Verse 11, same chapter. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and did what? Followed him. There's experience of faith. There's expression of faith. And how about the expectation of faith? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, a living hope. So yes, experience, expression, expectation, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So, let me ask you one more time, Peter, saved or unsaved? Saved. Now, if you looked at one little snapshot, if you took a Polaroid, and you pulled that picture out, ooh, I just don't know the marks. And how about if I pulled that picture out of you tonight? Could I have taken a snapshot somewhere in your life? Whoa. I just don't know. How about yesterday? If I took it yesterday. Or last year. Or last week. How about if I take it this week? Am I going to take it sometime and it goes, I don't know. Is he truly, perhaps you're watching, doing, saying, going, behaving. Was Peter, yes, just like Abraham, marks of genuine faith. Do you see those in your life? Salvation is always spoken of in the Bible as a current, present possession. Do you know that you've been born again? Do you know? If not, you can. And if you do, let us rejoice in what God has done for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the listening ears. Help us, Lord, to be listening to your word. May our lives show forth the expression, the expectation, the experience of salvation clearly. And Lord, if we don't see those, we need to get right with you. And Lord, perhaps we just need to receive you as our Savior. Help us, Lord, to walk with you this week. May our lives be tuned with you each step that we take. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In closing, please grab a hymnal. I believe you'll need the words for 545. 545, you'll grab a hymn book, please.